Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is a good evening to you, and how you be at 8:03 and 49 seconds to go right along with it on a Wednesday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there, Brian Rascona. Brian on the other side of the glass, and 1-877-337-6666. That'll be the number for another 2 hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata and Sal coming your way at 10 on your fan, New York City. And coming your way now, and we're happy to welcome Peter Vesey to the program. Peter, how the hell are you doing, and are you managing and coping okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm in a high-risk category, but I'm not too worried about it. Where I live is pretty desolate, and I'm not restricted to stay inside. Me and my dog, we go for walks to the water every day, and we hang out. So, it's all good here. Yeah, I am worried about the stock market.
Oh, what? I mean, listen, it's like 1929.
Yeah. Yeah, we were born then, weren't we? We're
Hugh and I are definitely in that vulnerable age group.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, try not to follow it too closely. I had to maneuver a little bit. I'm not a stock person at all, but, when you reach our age, you have to do something with your 401k, and you have to put it somewhere that it's so it doesn't get taxed. So now there it is. I'm retired 7 years, so I've got to figure out what to do with this money before I lose it all. So that's everyone's going through that.
Oh, everyone indeed, yeah. and of course it'll all come back, but who knows when already?
Yeah. But Steve, people tell me, it'll come back in a few years. Yeah, but I might not be here in a few years.
You will.
I'm just saying, I need to to protect myself short term, not long term.
Yeah, well, I believe me, I can identify, and I totally understand. I just want to make sure that you have enough water and toilet paper at home.
we have a well, so, we're good with water, and I still don't understand the toilet paper stuff.
As Carmelo Anthony would remind us, isolation.
isolation is
the key here. do you think we're going to have an NBA season at all? Any kind of resumption of what we used to know as the NBA? You think they're going to play any more this season?
Steve, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, everybody you listen to has a different perspective on how long this is going to take. I read something today. It's going to be. They said it's not going to be back to normal for 2 years. I said, wait a minute. Hold on.
No.
China. China is on the way back already. So
yeah.
So if you listen to enough people, you get enough misinformation. And I hope it'll be back. I hope sports will return the way it was. But You know, I did learn one thing from 9/11, and you know, that was a time when I was in the city, and you know, I remember all the people, you know, with their cars. They put flags on their cars, and everybody was nice to each other, and that lasted about 3 weeks after, you know. So I'm hoping it lasts a little longer this time, with people being you know, caring about one another. And I'm helping. I'm doing my part by not writing anymore. So.
Well, don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, I mean, the two members of the Jazz, and of course Gobert and Mitchell, and then the four guys on the Brooklyn Nets, and Durant letting us know that he had tested positive, and then today even. Wilson Chandler was told to stay out of his apartment complex lobby and all the common areas. So yeah. There's some insanity going on here, too.
Oh, there's a lot of insanity. It was really because of his tattoos they didn't want him in the lobby. But, you know, certainly a lot of stuff going on. You know, but again, you know, the players being testing positive, no different. No, than anybody else. Nobody is immune from this, obviously.
Oh, sure.
I shop in a place for a fish place out in South Hole, you know, on the North Fork.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to go in there, I don't know, 10 days ago or so. And that same day, they found out that the chef had tested positive.
Wow.
And that place, I went by there today, that place is closed. You know, even though they disinfected and everything, it really hit hard out here in the North Fork and South Hold and Greenport and stuff. But yeah, so nobody's immune. I mean, you know, players are players; they're human like anybody else. They're going to pick it up. Nobody knows exactly where they're picking it up. So you know, we just got to stay flexible. You know, I'm kind of enjoying myself as far as one thing, Steve. You might get a kick out of this. Is that yeah? I'm going over all my columns and you know, photos and over the years, trying to get things in order. And one category that I came into play here was letters over the years, which you know, to me, you know, one of the biggest shames of having you know, going on the internet and doing, you know, working on phones and tweeting and, you know, texting and all that stuff, you don't get the letters. You know, that we used to get,
yep.
You know, as sports writers. And then, you know,
sure.
I found some tremendous, you know, letters. You know, I was saying to a friend of mine, I wish I had a letter from David Stern.
Mm.
And damn if I didn't find one. I found one that he had sent me when my father died. And it was so unbelievable. You know, everything he said in it, you know, holds true. And, I mean, it really took his time to write. It wasn't just something he knocked off. And I plan to make a copy and send it to his children, because it certainly applies to them.
Terrific.
From what he said about my father and me. And then there were other letters that were, you know, like Aaron Sorkin sent me a letter after I did a review of A Few Good Men on Broadway. I went to see it, and I loved it. And that day, or the next day, I wrote a column about A Few Good Men instead of the NBA. And he sent me a beautiful letter, and you know, there, here it is. You know, I found that, and I found one from Donald Trump, who sent me a letter. He said he was a big fan of mine and never missed a column, and you know, stuff like that. Lou Conosecker, you know, Danny Whalen, Richie Powers, a couple from him. Cora Alcindor, who's you know, Kareem's mother, she sent me a couple. Pat Riley's sister, you know, sent me several. So I mean, it's really, really interesting reading these letters, you know, after all these years. I want to try to do something with them all.
We're talking with Peter Vesey, who without question made a difference. You remind me when and here is a quick story I can relate. When my father died in 2003, Fred Wilpon sent me a condolence card, handwritten, It was a card, and on all four sides of this card, he had written, condolence, his condolences.
Right.
And the first time I ever met him, he took out his wallet, and of course nothing was in it, except a picture of him and his father. And this is from a Fred Wilpon, and here I am as a Metropolitan fan, and he's not been a great owner, and nobody really likes his son, and it's not easy to do, and I'm sure that he understands that I have a job to do and also am honest about talking about the kind of ownership that they have had, the real estate types that they really are, and not running the New York Metropolitans. I mean, I've done as much as anyone and even refer to them as the Will Ponzi's and so forth and so on. But I cannot.
Well, but Steve, he wasn't relating to you in that way. He was relating to you.
Yep.
Son lost his father.
Yes.
He had lost his father. And yeah, we all relate in that way.
Yep.
With the mothers too. And you know, anybody who dies is close to us. And to get a handwritten note in any capacity, you know, on a card or you know,
mm-hmm.
that you gotta put an awful lot of stock in that. I mean, I remember the newspapers saying that you know, one letter regarding something that was written was worth something like, I don't know if it was 100 or 1,000 people feeling the same way.
Right.
And so I got some tremendous love. And my Kay sent a beautiful letter when my mother died that I still save.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's, hey, look, you know, let's forget about all the sports. You know, let's think about, you know, our lives and our childhoods, and they certainly go so too fast. As I think I'm the first one that ever said, geez, where'd the time go? Am I the first one that said that?
You would have. You would have.
But
thank you for those words, for sure. Let me ask you about Leon Rose, and let me ask you about Steve Stout, who is supposed to be the brandy man to change. He may have to change his own brand before he changes the brand of the New York Knickerbockers. Give me your thoughts about, has Dolan done the right thing hiring Leon Rose, who knows everybody like you do with the NBA, and certainly you did, and my guess is you still could get in touch with just about anybody associated with the NBA for years, not only even now, but for so many years. But do you think that Dolan may have done the right thing in hiring these two guys?
Well, I don't know either of them, believe it or not. I mean, I never even heard of Stout. And so, I mean, that's not a knock on him.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Knock on me. I just never heard of him.
Not really. Go ahead.
And so, you know, when they announced that he had some title with the Knicks and was working on a new brand, and then he comes out and you know, said something negative about the coach not coming back and you know, the staff not coming back. I mean, that was so uncalled for. It just shows, just shows though that you know he's like a rookie. You know, he has no idea what he should say. And then they corrected him. You know, the people above him corrected him. Okay, so I don't even know what to deal with him. I don't understand. You know, I'll just say one thing. If the Knicks want to change their brand, I think the easiest way to do it would be to win. That would be the way I would do it. But and then as far as Rose goes, you know, amazingly, you know, in all the time that he was, I think his first basketball client was Rick Brunson.
Okay.
And I, you know, Rick and I used to talk all the time, and I, you know, I certainly knew who Rose, you know, was, and you know, he's a big time guy, well respected, and all that. But I never called him about anything. And, you know, tell you the truth, which I hope to do all the time, but in this case, it's like it's weird. When the picture was shown of Rose, I was shocked he was white.
Huh.
I always thought he was black. So, you know, I mean, he you know, he had LeBron. He had an awful lot of players, you know, from the Philly area. But, you know, LeBron coming out of high school, I think he had him right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the guy that when the Knicks came to Cleveland with four or five other teams, I don't remember exactly, to recruit LeBron. You know, Rose was, I believe, was running that whole interview process. And he was doing what LeBron told him to, but whatever, he was running. And then, you know, when they struck out, they knew they struck out the Knicks when they met with him, because it was such a brief encounter. And I remember Donnie Walsh telling me that he knew right away they weren't going to get him, because LeBron wasn't even paying attention to what they were saying. And from what I understand, with good reason, because they weren't saying anything. But James Dolan sent Isaiah down to Cleveland or Philly, I'm not sure, I think Cleveland, to try to get another interview on the side with LeBron. So he had to go through Rose. And Rose said no. No interview. So I mean, it's kind of interesting that here's the guy now, he's going to be running the Knicks. So I don't know. You know, look, I always believed for 20, 30 years that I would have made a great general manager, and I had no experience. But so I'm not going to say that Leon Rose can't do it coming as an agent. You know, but Dolan made a big mistake by hiring Phil Jackson off of his name. And, you know, I wrote at the time that, he had never done the job and never wanted to do the job. When he was a coach of the Bulls and the Lakers, he never wanted it. I remember him telling me, he said, let Krause do what he wants. I'll fight the fights I can fight, win the ones I can, hope to win. But I want to go back to Wyoming or Montana or wherever he went. And so then he hired him. So what I'm saying is that now he's hiring Rose, who has no experience.
Right.
And there's just so many other people that were available that could have done the job if he just waited. Now it's really foolish, but, you didn't know the virus was coming. But what was the rush? What was the rush? You know, Dolan could have fired General Mills on his own. He didn't need Rose to be in the background coming in. So, I mean, I don't know. I think they rushed into it. I believe that the general manager of Oklahoma City, whose name is going to escape me right now, but I believe that I was told anyway that the owner would have let him come to the Knicks. You know, and he's the guy that drafted Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, and has done a really good job at rebuilding the team when those guys left. But the Knicks could have had him. And, the Knicks could have had numerous general managers who have done it before. So they're taking a chance.
And you were thinking, they definitely are. And we know from experience that it can be a little bit questionable, at least, but hiring an agent to be an executive running a baseball team, as we know with Brody Van Bandwagonen. And,
of course,
he's made some bad moves. And
yeah, but anybody can make bad moves.
Sure.
But I'd rather go by experience. But look, some of the most successful guys in football and basketball, they were ex-sports writers. So anybody can do the job if they got a brain. He just seems to pick guys that I don't know. He listens to the agents, what the company rose from, CAA or whatever the hell. He hired Jackson because he was tight with a singing agent. I mean, what is he doing?
And Jackson, of course, spending more time in Manhattan Beach than Manhattan. How could he resist the money that he was going to be making? And here's another thing with the Knickerbockers here. Do you think that Leon Rose, let's just say that Leon Rose might be the right kind of guy to get some talent and do the right thing as running the New York Knickerbockers, do you think he'll be given the autonomy he would like to have and so that he could do the job without Dolan's fingerprints all over it?
I do. And in many instances, is Dolan has given that autonomy. You know, people want to say he didn't, but his problem is that he gives it too much. He trusts people, you know, to make these decisions. I Thomas, the decisions he allowed him to make. You know, Phil made some really bad decisions, you know, but Donnie Walsh was, you know, he was allowed to do what he wanted, and everybody wants to talk about, well, you know, Dolan stepped in and made the Carmelo deal. But, you know, and I got to tell you, Steve, just so you remember for all time, he didn't make the deal. Donnie made the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Dolan did set up the deal. There's no question. He went out and met with Denver, with the owner and the general manager, and he came up with some parameters. And then he told Donnie Walsh. Now, this is straight from Donnie Walsh. He told him, he said, now, it's up to you. Do you want to make the deal or not? It's up to you. And Donnie said yes, because he wanted Carmelo all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he thought he could get him after the season in a free agency.
Sure.
But Carmelo didn't want that. Carmelo wanted the money. He wanted to be with the team so he could get more money. So he was forcing a trade. If the Knicks said no, the Nets were going to get Carmelo. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that.
Sure.
So he said yes. He gave up more than he wanted. But, you know, in retrospect, he gave up nobody that mattered. You know, that Dolan added to the pot. You know, Gallinari would have been in it no matter what. Chandler was in that trade. And the Russian center was in it. He didn't want to give him up. But who he gave up the point guard to, you know, big deal. Gallinari's the only one left that's, you know, and is playing terrific after so many injuries. But let me just go backtrack one thing about agents. So Dolan, again, made this move on Rose, because, you know, and the writers write it like it's the truth, you know, oh, well, you know, the agents that were, you know, running the Lakers and running the Warriors have done such a great job. It's nonsense. It's just nonsense. If you really know what happened with the Warriors, you know, Love for Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. That was one of the trades that the general manager of the Warriors wanted to make. And Jerry West was out there as the key consultant. And he said, no way, that's not going to happen. The other trade was he wanted to trade Curry to the Bucks and for Bogut, and it turned out it was, you know, he went the other way. The Bucks went the other way because they were afraid of Curry's knee. So that's that situation. That guy, I mean, he gets so much hype, it's a joke, the mistakes he was going to make. And then the other one, you know, with the Lakers, I mean, this is Kobe's guy, got him the job. I mean, he's Kobe's agent, he got him the job. He's the guy that was tampering, you know, with George.
Mm-hmm.
Cost the team $500,000. Could have cost him a draft pick easy if the league really wanted to sit on him. And the guy did nothing. Did he takes credit for LeBron coming? LeBron was coming no matter what. And as you recall, I think I did this show with you once before. I had LeBron absolutely becoming a Laker September before the season even started. I guaranteed it. He was going to become a Laker. Magic didn't do anything to get him there, and the agent did nothing. The GM did nothing to get him there. He wanted to play for the Lakers. He wanted to be in LA with his family and his business.
I got to ask you, and we won't hold you too much longer, I promise, Peter, but I've got to ask you, if Dolan had given, if you had been Charles Oakley, and eventually barred from Madison Square Garden covering the New York Knickerbockers by Dolan, how might you have handled it?
Well, I mean, I tell you how I did handle it. They have a PR guy there. I mean, I'm really bad at names right now because I haven't used them in so long. But they had a PR guy there that took away my seat down below and told me I had to sit up in the hockey press box or something. And, you know, I told my sports editor about it, and he did not support me. And that was the last Knick game I ever went to. So that's the way I would have handled it, and I did handle it that way. So for the last 2 years of my career, I didn't go to the Garden once. But you know, Oakley, it's funny because Charles and I have been, you know, pretty damn close over the years. And we were talking around that time his incident happened. And he said to me, man, let's both go to the garden. Let's go sit together. I said, Charles, I said, first of all, I'm not going to the garden. And me and you at the garden together? I don't think that would work. So he went alone. Look what happened.
How do you explain the fact that the Knicks have had 20 years of losing and yet fill out the joint every night?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who don't know what to do with their money, that's for sure. they want to be seen, you know, they want to be in the middle of the actors and entertainers that sit on the court, and a lot of corporation money that doesn't matter. They hand them out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's been a long time. People have been calling the Knicks fans, you know, the most sophisticated fans in the league. You know, which I've laughed at for decades. They know what the point spread is. You know, they always knew that. But no, I don't think that they're too sophisticated. But let's go one more. Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get into an argument.
Can you believe?
Well, okay. So he and Dolan get into an argument about using the employee's entrance, which, you know, sports writers use that entrance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of that. So
Yep. So
we've been going in there for years, and certainly all the celebrities have gone in that way. And okay, so now it's years later, and Spike is like the face of the Knicks fans. I mean, he's the guy.
Right.
And so they get into, he can't come in the employee's entrance. So you can look at it two ways. I mean, he's a spoiled brat for wanting to go in that way. But he's also the guy that the Garden relies on when they're trying to recruit a player.
Right.
He's the guy that they put up front with, you know, a lot of other people. He's the guy. And he'll, you know, maybe he'll write the whole thing and produce the whole thing. Like they did one, and nobody knows about, they did one on Kyrie Irving. Had they recruited him, had they signed him, they were going to release this big thing that, you know, Spike and all these other people did. And of course, when he signed with the Nets, they, you know, they threw it away. But, you know, that's what he's famous for with the team. So now you're gonna piss off your key fan, you know. So what about the next time you want to recruit somebody? You know, Leon Rose, okay, Leon's going to make up with Spike, but is he going to be able to use the employee's entrance? You know, it's farcical, that's what it is.
And you know who's happy that Spike Lee isn't going to be attending any Knickerbocker games for the rest? Well, first of all,
no more games this year.
Right, yeah. I was about to say for the rest of the season. The people sitting behind him are happy that he's not.
Because he's always standing up.
Yeah. Here's, all right, one final question. Rick.
Why, he's not that tall.
No, that's true. Here's the thing. Iona, Rick Pitino, your thoughts.
Wow. Well, you know, it's an amazing universe. That's all I can say is that, you know, they're going to hire somebody that has gotten into the trouble that he's gotten into. You know, I put a tweet out there the other day about that Iona has already put itself on probation just to prepare for Pitino. You know, he can deny, but, you know, I know Rick very, very well, you know, since he was in Providence, since he came to the Knicks. And, you know, the stuff that he's been able to get away with and still be inducted into the Springfield Hall of Fame. It's sad. And now that this is the guy that they're bringing in here. And, you know, he's going to do well. He can coach. There's no question he can coach, and there's no question he can recruit. And he'll have a good team. You know, they have these new rules, this fifth-year rule that you can play. If, you know, that fifth-year transfer out. I mean, he'll have a good team. He'll have a good coaching staff that work hard. And then he'll leave. Now, I don't know if it's been announced. I really don't read the papers much anymore. But I was told that he's got a $10 million buyout. Did you know that?
Yes, and he also mentioned that it was too embarrassing to mention how much.
Well, it's $10
million. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's $10 million. So, you know, Iona was smart because they know he's going to leave. If he's successful,
sure,
he's gone. whether it's college or the pros. And so they put this in there. They'll make themselves $10 million. They'll get a lot of publicity over the next year or two that he's there. And a team will pay that in this day and age of, you know, the rich billionaires, you know, no problem. Jeez, I mean, I think Noah is still got, what did he get? How much money did he get that he's still getting paid? You know, it's like, no problem. So that, you know, so I'm not, you know, I was always a pretty big Iona fan. In fact, I was in New Rochelle the other day visiting some friends of mine. But
and that's a toxic area. What you?
I was visiting my friends. You know.
Yeah, well, sure. A toxic area hiring, according to you, a toxic coach.
Yeah, yeah. No, nah, there's no question. I mean, I'm not going to give you specifics, but I know some stuff on Rick that if I ever do write my book, he'll get a prominent mention.
And you should. You really should. What a read it would be. And by the way, as we let you go, and can't thank you enough, you know that. Give me your Twitter handle again.
I don't care if people follow me.
Well, I do.
Oh, I'm not even sure. What is it? At Peter Vesey 1.
At Peter Vesey 1.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I told you before that I'm upset about, you know, the market going down. My Twitter account is going down. My followers have disappeared. I mean, that's really important.
Well, they're out buying water and toilet paper. Peter, you listen to me. You take care of yourself, and hopefully before too long we get to do this again. I can't thank you enough.
Any time, Steve. You take care, too.
All right. Will do.
Stay behind that glass.
Okay. All right. At Peter Vesey 1 and the great Peter, the best basketball. I don't say it when he's on with me because it embarrasses him, and people know from what he did and who he is and what he continues to do. So, you know, get in touch with him. As you can tell, he can talk some basketball and he should write that book. There's no question about it. And we would be hearing things about a number of players from a reliable source, period.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.